In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It seems like I haven't had an opportunity to speak for you in quite a while due to travels and visiting clergy and all of that. So it's a joy to resume a regular rhythm once again. Now, this gospel that we read today hopefully is a familiar one that is often interpreted as, indeed the fathers of the church interpret it this way, as the Jews being those wicked tenants that killed the servants of the Lord, and then the vineyard being rented out to other tenants that would give fruit in due season, meaning the church. But we sometimes fall prey to the temptation to read Christ's criticism of these priests and Pharisees in a way that does not also criticize me. And that would be a mistake. We can easily condemn those corrupt religious leaders as bad while patting ourselves on the back. For we are presumably, as I mentioned, those other tenants who will give him the fruit in due season. But this is not always true. Whereas those who have received the fullness of God's truth, we have an even greater responsibility to resist that persistent temptation to keep all the fruit for ourselves. That temptation to do so has remained with every generation, from Adam and Eve, who ate the fruit which was not theirs, and we are no exception. So today's reading from St. Matthew's Gospel comes after the Savior's triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. The crowds welcomed him as the conquering Messiah who would cast out the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom. But they would soon reject him when it became clear that his kingdom was not of this world. They were like the sons who had promised to work in their father's vineyard, but when it came time to do so, they did not keep their word. In the parable today, Christ foretells his own death at the hands of those who would not even respect the Son of God, in whom all the promises of Abraham are fulfilled. And because they rejected him, the Lord said in the verse immediately following our reading today, "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." Here he points to the coming of the church in which there is neither Jew nor Gentile, for those with no ancestral connection to Israel. These people are now grafted in, indeed us. We are grafted in as branches of the olive tree whose roots extend back to the covenant with Abraham. St. Paul, in the epistle to the Romans, warns the Gentile Christians not to take pride in their status in relation to the Jews who had rejected Jesus. He warns them, don't do this. And says, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. By faith in Christ, or rather through faithfulness to him, we have become the new tenants of the vineyard with an obligation to give him the fruits in their season. That is, of course, precisely what the original tenants refused to do. Instead of tending the vineyard and offering its fruit to their rightful owner, they wanted everything for themselves and killed even the son of the owner, in order to take his inheritance. We must read this passage as a reminder that in order to be the good tenants of the Lord's vineyard, we must offer ourselves in union with his great self-offering on the cross for the salvation of the world. Our calling is the complete opposite of using our blessings according to my passions in order to help me get what I want. How many times do I pray, Lord, give me this thing. I want it. Lord, you need to do this for me. God knows what I need. And he loves me even more than I love myself. So this temptation to use God's blessings for me as a way to get what I want is a temptation fueled by that self-centered pride of wanting to keep all the fruit for myself. In the celebration of the Divine Liturgy, in just a little bit, we offer the bread and wine. And our offering being completed and fulfilled in the Holy Spirit, we then receive them as the body and blood of Christ for our healing and participation in the eternal life of the kingdom. Receiving the Eucharist, brothers and sisters, cannot become merely a religious routine that we do because that's what we do. It doesn't serve any earthly goal. It doesn't actually benefit us materially. But it is for our nourishment in that heavenly life that we are called to. The Savior's body and blood empower us to become like him in holiness as we enter into his restoration of the human person in the image and likeness of God. To be in communion with Christ requires offering ourselves to him each day and refusing to think that there are any parts of my life that I ought to keep for myself. He offered himself fully on the cross, to the point of death, burial, and descent into Hades, in order to rise up in glory for the salvation of the world. And if we refuse to offer the fruit of our own lives to him, then we end up eating and drinking our own condemnation, and reject him more tragically than even those chief priests and Pharisees did, who handed the Lord over to crucifixion because he did not serve their goals. Later this week, we celebrate the feast of the birth of the Theotokos, who more than anyone else offered herself fully to God. Her parents, Joachim and Anna, were a righteous elderly Jewish couple who, like Abraham and Sarah, had longed for a child for many years. And God heard their fervent prayers and gave them Mary, who they dedicated to the Lord in the temple. That's where she grew up in preparation to become the living temple of the Lord when Christ came to dwell miraculously in her womb. The misery of Adam and Eve, who took the fruit for themselves, was overcome by the joy of the nativity of the Theotokos to Joachim and Anna, who offered their long-awaited fruit of their marriage back to God. The Most Holy Theotokos is precisely that, the Theotokos, the Mother of God, because the one who she bore is truly divine and the eternal Son of God. She is the new Eve because she gave birth to the new Adam, who fulfills our calling to be like God in holiness and who brings us back to paradise. As the God-man, he united humanity and divinity in himself, enabling us to become partakers of that same divine nature. We have the first Eve who chose her own will over God's and gave birth to those enslaved to death, beginning with Cain and Abel. And we also have the new Eve who said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And she gave birth to the one who set us free from the fear of the grave through her offering, her free offering of obedience to God. And when the deacon says at the end of many of our litanies, "Let us commend ourselves and our whole life unto Christ our God," and we add our amen to that prayer, we offer to God that which is already His. My whole life. And we choose to glorify Him rather than ourselves. That is the only way, the only true way to live as those who are truly in communion with Him. Otherwise, we risk falling into that same idolatry of serving ourselves only and rejecting the Savior, as we read in today's Gospel. Regardless of how religious and pious I am, how well I fast, or how often I pray, or, you know, how many times I attend the Divine Liturgy, we fall into spiritual hypocrisy and delusion when we fail to offer God that which is His. So let us follow the example of the Theotokos in offering our whole selves to Christ without reservation as we give to Him the fruits of our lives in their seasons. Amen.